Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And today, as I said last week, I want to take a little time and just speak to you about suffering. We've talked about it in the past, those of you who have been longtime listeners, but there's also many relatively new listeners to the program. And As I said last week, I hear from so many people, and I see the suffering that you're enduring in so many, many different kinds of ways. And I want you to know, first of all, that I pray for you. I pray for all of my listeners. But I also want you to know some more of the hidden depths of what God is about when suffering comes into our lives. You might have more of a vision than you've had. As I mentioned, too, I have a little booklet called Hope in the Midst of Suffering. You regular listeners, many of you have a copy of it. But I urge you, if you have a copy of it, to reread it, please. If you don't have a copy of it, please, the information is given at the end of the program, but call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, 1-800-282-4789, and you can receive a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering. It's a theme that runs through all of life, isn't it? We have periods in life where everything goes well, and we have periods of life where things are very, very challenging and very difficult. How do we deal with suffering? Many of us see suffering as a punishment for something. And sometimes it is a punishment. We've made some stupid decisions and there are results for that. But God does with suffering is to draw us, conform us more to himself, that we might be drawn into union with him. It's the means to a great gift, because oftentimes we don't respond to anything else. Oh, yeah, someday I need to pray more. Someday I need to read this. Someday I need to do that work. Someday I need to go on a mission trip, or whatever the case may be. We're always looking to the future, but it's what's right now. And one of the ways sometimes that, not that God does it for this reason, but God allows the suffering in our lives to cause us to question ourselves and to say, are my sights right? Do I have the right goals in mind? Am I moving in the right direction? Whether, as I said, that suffering be physical, whether it be mental suffering of some kind, emotional, whether it be suffering for on behalf of those we love and the suffering that they're enduring, it takes so many forms. But why does God permit it? Why does God permit it? And what should be the fruit? There is a passage that I have pondered many times because it was Pope John Paul who spoke about this passage. It's Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's chapter 1, beginning with verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. If you have your Bible with you, and I always urge you when you're listening to the program, if at all possible, unless you're driving a car, but if at all possible, to have your scripture with you too. And this is what Paul says. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake. Now think about that. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings. What kind of man is this who would rejoice in sufferings? He says, for your sake. And in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. And you think, now wait a moment here, Paul. Nothing should be lacking in Christ's suffering. His suffering is complete. What does Paul mean? What is lacking in Christ's suffering? What's he saying to us? And John Paul, Pope John Paul, put it this way. I'm not quoting, but this was the essence of what he said. Paul says that Christ's suffering is complete but not closed. That Christ's suffering is complete, that God, in his mercy, nothing is lacking in the suffering of Christ. But in order to receive us, into the power of offering our suffering. He says, what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. And he said that what God wants is for you and me to offer our suffering in union with Christ for the salvation of the world. John Paul says, Christ's suffering is complete. There's nothing lacking in that sense. His suffering is complete, but that in his mercy, he allows his suffering, he doesn't close the door on the power of his suffering. He allows the offering, if we offer our suffering in union with Christ's suffering, we participate in the salvation of the world. There is no suffering that needs to be useless. No suffering, even when it doesn't make sense to us here. John Paul said that every suffering we endure, if it's offered with Christ, because of God's mercy, not because of any power we have, but because of God's mercy, he takes our suffering, our pain, our agony, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, whatever. He takes our suffering and unites it with his for the salvation of others. You don't know and won't know until heaven what good your suffering did, if you offered it, what good your suffering accomplished. It's really something to think about, brothers and sisters, because so often we think, why this? Why do I have to suffer this? Why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to endure this right now? I have this to do and that to do. And only in the wisdom of God does he see that if we offer it, that we're going to stand one day in eternity, and perhaps, I don't know this for a fact, but perhaps God will show us the people whose lives were saved because we offered our pain and we offered our suffering. God wants to bless you. Even when you think you're being cursed, God wants to bless you. He wants your salvation to bring souls safely home to him. He wants your suffering, the offering of your suffering, to bring souls safely home to him. That's God's mercy. It's nothing but God's mercy. I have no power. You have no power in ourselves. But God, in his infinite goodness and infinite mercy, allows our suffering united with his. I want you to get this. That's why I'm repeating it. He wants your suffering united with his. Jesus, I offer you my suffering today for the salvation of others. Do with my suffering as you see fit. Or whatever words you want to use. But that's the way to pray. And God will use it. The Gospel of Luke says this, chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. Jesus said to the crowd, No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. The day will come when absolutely everything is known about us to everybody else. Everything will be made known. And we'll see who the saints really are, the real saints, the ones that you didn't even know in this life. Ones that were not exactly noticed. They didn't do anything that made them stand out in any way. But quietly, they drew nearer to God. Quietly, they asked to be more and more conformed to him. Quietly, they offered their suffering, perhaps for our salvation. Brothers and sisters, we're part of the body of Jesus Christ. And that body is like our, in one sense, like our human body. Every part of it has to work for the good of the whole. Doesn't just work for my little corner of my body. It works for the good of the whole. And so must we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, part of the body of Christ, allow our suffering as well as the good things that happen to us, our joys, our hopes, but we offer all of that to God in thanksgiving. And we can ask him, Lord, use this, especially my suffering, use this for the salvation of others. I offer it to you. That's what God wants us to see, that we're not alone. He wants us to see that we're part of the body of Christ. And as the body grows, as the body gets stronger, as the body gets healthier, so each of the parts, that's you and me, get stronger and healthier and better. We're living through some darkness, and there may be greater darkness yet to come. We're called to be disciples of the one who is the light of the world. And as we are, both in our strength and in our times of suffering, if we're offering it to God, not saying that we're useless when we're suffering, because we are not. We are very effective if we offer it. Just being in that posture, that position, Lord, I offer my life to you today, both in suffering and in joy, in the good things and the difficult things. I offer you my life. I want to be more and more your disciple. I offer you my suffering. I ask that it would benefit the lives of many. Just because you're bedridden or you're handicapped in some way does not make you useless. It does not. And don't let the world tell you that. Your offering, your suffering contributes to the salvation of others. Please hear me on that and open your heart to receive all that God wants to give you. St. Luke tells us, there is nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. To anyone who has more will be given, and from the one who has not. In other words, you've discounted it, ignored it, misused it. The one who has not even what he seems to have will be taken away. We don't want to be in that position. So know that God loves you. And especially I speak to those of you who are suffering right now, who are homebound, you're confined. Your gift of yourself and your suffering to God may contribute to the salvation of many others. Never see yourself as useless or spent or done. God loves you and God wants to use you. And the more you allow him to use you, the more you see the beauty of the body of Christ and the more that is clear about your place in it. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.